The earth was behind me, but I could still feel it. It hadn't yet let me go. Outside the broad windows of the loading area, the long shaft of Chivita Station tethered the port to the ground. As they waited their turn to board the shuttles, the passengers gaped at the earth, exclaiming with delight as they watched daylight fall upon familiar cities, mountains, curves of seashore. I had looked, once, when we took up our positions. I did not care to look again. A single glance had given me the profound feeling of falling, the gravity of the planet grabbing me back when I was so close to escaping. It was enough that we had left Earth. I did not need to gape open-mouthed like these spoiled students, now jostling each other for the best view. They could have been squealing schoolchildren rather than honored postgraduate research fellows, so inane was their chatter, so boisterous their excitement. They were supposed to be the best the United Councils of Earth had to offer, but they thought themselves clever for picking out cities as though they were pointing at sweets in a shop.
"Tell me when you spot our target," I murmured.
"Anyone?" There were 8 of us in the mission vanguard, 4 in the station, and 4 aboard the waiting shuttle. We had assumed our false identities several days ago, long enough to grow accustomed to the uniform and rules of the Space and Exploration Commission, the arm of the councils that govern space travel and research. So, too, had we grown used to the obsequiousness, the meekness, the smiles, all the play-acting required to pass as proud spec members. But I was suddenly unsure of how loud I needed to speak for our hidden comms to pick it up. We had never practiced in such a noisy, crowded space.
"Not yet."
Panya's voice was a whisper in my ear. She was stationed on the other side of the passenger loading area. Her blonde hair was tied back in sleek twin braids. There was not the slightest wrinkle of worry marring her pale white brow. Her uniform fit perfectly, and she wore it naturally, with the blue and white spec badge gleaming on her upper arm. We had been greeting the Lung research fellows and directing them to their shuttles for over an hour, but Panya's cheerfulness had not flagged.
"Negative," said Dag,
and Henka shook his head. They were positioned on either side of the shuttle door, waiting until it was our turn to load up our passengers.
"Stop scowling," I said sharply to Henka, whose expression was creased in a deep frown. "Look like you're happy to be here."
One of the fellows glanced at me. I pressed my lips together and offered her an empty smile. The person I was pretending to be would not be muttering angrily to herself. She would be cheerful, calm, proud of her task and her uniform, never once considering that a career of such mindless servitude was an insult rather than an honor. The student gave me a vague look, then turned away to join her friends. Henka wrangled his sun-scarred face into some semblance of a grin. It looked worse than his scowl, but I didn't scold him again. He disliked obeying me enough as it was. I had learned to choose my battles carefully.
"You have to be one of them. A speck of poison in the cancer that is speck."
That was what Adam had said to me before the mission began. 2 months ago, in the cool desert darkness before dawn, he had brushed a strand of hair from my face and touched my cheek. I had shivered with guilt I hoped he saw as pride, with fear I hoped he took for excitement. He was our leader, our savior, and I could not turn away, no matter how certain I was that he had already guessed the secrets I kept from him, the selfish reasons I had for needing this mission to succeed. He had smiled and said,
"Inside, you will always be my warrior. But on the outside, you show them a servant."
We could not take chances. The councils and Speck were watching constantly. If we erred for even a moment, the whole mission would be forfeit.